This is Sean with Voices of SAE, and I've got a gentleman on the phone that I met at the very beginning of freshman year, and we're going to give you a little lead-in here. We call, this was by your request, your name is Mike Boedeker, and you love Earth, Wind, and Fire. Here we go. Do you remember Ball State? Is that the first question, right?
Yes, I do, very fondly, Sean.
All right, nice, Michael, this is a pleasure for me because we started this pledgeship road together, and we literally walked from the dorms to the house together. But before we get to that, where were you born, what day, what city, where are you from, Michael?
I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, born and raised, born December 18th, 1974.
Okay. So you were born in St. Louis. What was the suburb?
No, I was born in South City of St. Louis, so about 5 minutes south of the Arch.
Oh, okay. Do a lot of people reference, like, I'm 18 minutes from the Arch, like, in a direction? Is that a
thing?
Well,
you want to give some kind of parameters. A lot of people say they're from St. Louis and are from all over the metropolitan area, but, yeah, I grew up in the heart of the city.
Okay. So you were hardcore. Pretty much.
Hardcore, yeah.
Hardcore. And what are your parents' names?
My parents are Bill and Judy, and they still live in the same house that I grew up in, south side of St. Louis. So
south side. And you're living currently where?
I live in Carmel, Indiana, and, on the north side of Carmel.
And what's your industry?
I've been in the IT solutions industry since I graduated.
Well, what, like, aspect?
That's so I'm in a sales role, strategic sales, enterprise sales, all related to IT solutions. So selling software and services related to software.
Do you have any idea how to code?
No, not a clue. Not a clue.
Isn't that great? They could get guys like you to just go, no, it's going to work. Like, it's totally good. You know, it's going to work. You'll be fine. If we need to fix it, we got some guys to do that, right?
My job's to connect the customers with the smart people and let everything else take effect.
Right. All right. So you got a brother that also is an SC. What is his name?
I do. Dan Boedeker. He was 2 years behind me. He was actually president of the house my senior year.
It's kind of like Peyton and Eli, right?
Kind of.
A little bit. Then your sister, I can't remember her name, but she was really cool.
Yeah, my sister Gina. She came up to visit all the time. It was always looking for a party. So, yeah, she was lucky enough to get introduced to many of our friends that took very good care of her when she was visiting, make sure nothing out of the ordinary happened.
Nothing too crazy, right? So, listen, in high school, what type of jobs, what type of activities, what type of community stuff did you get involved with? Just as a little backstory.
So, when I was in high school, I went to an all-boys Catholic high school in St. Louis, and part of being a part of that community, you had to serve the community in different ways. So I spent a lot of time working with children with developmental issues, kids that had Down syndrome, worked with a number of organizations that supported those types of things, the Special Olympics, the Big Brothers, Big Sisters Association. My family's very affiliated with the Ronald McDonald House Charities. So did a number of things as it relates to Ronald McDonald House. Actually, my cousin is the president of the chapter in St. Louis, so he would always introduce us to different opportunities to get involved in the community there.
That's pretty great. So St. Louis, a little far from Muncie. How'd you hear about Muncie? How'd you hear about Ball State? What was that motivation?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Nobody where I went to high school had ever heard of Ball State, but I played volleyball my entire life. And we would come up to Muncie once every summer to play at the Cardinal Invitational at Ball State that was held on campus. So kind of fell in love with just the idea of playing volleyball in college, and then got to meet Coach Shondell and Coach Walton during my junior and senior years coming up to the tournament. And conversations started, and I came to Ball State with the full intent to play on the volleyball team. Didn't work out, but that was my intent.
Do you like to? Do you know how to pancake? Can you pancake?
Yes, I used to be able to pancake. Absolutely.
For the listeners, that's when you dive, put your hand on the floor right as the ball's hitting it, and it does count as a hit.
Absolutely.
Okay. Corey Miller was your roommate, is that right?
Yeah, Corey and I actually played on the same Junior Olympic volleyball team in high school. So I knew Corey all through the 4 years in high school, although he went to a different high school. But we actually made our choices to go to Ball State independently of each other. I didn't know he was going until he had already signed the papers of admission, and I had done the same thing. And then at practice one day, we both said, "Oh, we're going to Ball State. That's awesome." So yeah, we didn't live together freshman year, although we did live together throughout.
I thought you guys had a double bed in the dorms.
No, we had another room. We had another roommate that came from our team to play volleyball up there as well.
Dave.
Yeah, Dave. Yeah.
Dave Bub. Dave. Good old Davey. All right. So I remember this, but I need you to tell it. What was your path to SCU? Who was the first person? How did that first situation happen for you?
Oh, geez. So, you know, there's a number of things I was thinking about, you know, prior, leading up to this. But I met Earl and Bill Wyatt just at some random party, and Bill started talking to us. Earl was not in the house yet, but Bill was. So I met him, and that led to meeting Rowan, led to meeting Brian Hernandez, led to meeting Ryan Pratt, Todd Crosby. Those guys then introduced me to Dodson and Burr. Then I met Reeson and Deeso and Bilby and Ward and Johnson and J.C. McConnell and Andy Weeks. So a lot of those guys were just hanging out with a number of the girls that we had met in the dorms, who ended up being Alpha Chi's down the road. So it was a weird happenstance on getting to meet those people, but were introduced very quickly to a social network, and it just kind of went on from there. I'd never thought about being a member of a fraternity or anything like that, but meeting those guys was very comfortable right away, and it just became something that I wanted to pursue.
All right, so if you weren't talking to me right now and you were talking to somebody else, how would you describe me in the pledge class? Because I'm interested.
Well, I would describe you, Sean, as a ball of energy and somebody that was very socially advanced in terms of just not caring about, and there was no limitations to the people that you would talk to. You were just very open, engaging, and always looking to connect people with others. So that's what I appreciate about you freshman year. I mean, part of the reason the fraternity thing even came into mention was, I think, through discussions that you and I had at the dining hall in the fall.
Right. And then happened to walk over there and all of it. So, I mean, you and I have got a ton of, like, Y Store, right? Like, the band, the Y Store, we were the first fraternity to be able to have them play in a fraternity. And what stories would you like to share that are some epic moments at the beginning, walkouts, Patty Murphy's? Yeah. What were some highlight things that you think are worth telling?
Well, there's some really cool things. I mean, the Y Store stands out as one of the best parties I've ever attended, even though we were working security that night. I think I actually got off midway through the night and somebody else replaced me. But when Johnson got that thing pushed through Chapter that the Y Store was going to play in the basement, it was incredible. I remember there being, maybe close to 1,000 people in and around the house, which is just ridiculous. But that was one of the most epic parties I've ever been to. I was remembering things about, like, homecoming, when all the alumni would come back, when I got to meet Stu and Fido for the first time. You know, those are moments that kind of stick in my brain. They would buy us beer. Ryan Pratt let me drive his car. He had a brand new Infiniti and let me drive his car as a sober driver at a party one time during homecoming week. I mean, that's something that still sticks with me today. Waking up early and going drinking at like 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning prior to watermelon bus parties. I remember going to Culver Cove a couple years for formal dances. In particular, our senior year, we went to Culver Cove, and that was a great time. Patty Murphy's were always a blast. I remember the 1 year Earl came back to be Patty Murphy. Slav was Patty Murphy 1 year. I thought that was hysterical. I was lucky enough to live with some of my best friends still today, my junior and senior year at Ball State, and we had an apartment above the Chug. So every Friday and Saturday, brothers would come over for all guy kegs. Those were some of my favorite moments because girls would try to get in and we'd be like, ah, sorry, it's an all-guy keg until we go to the bars. So just hysterical stuff like that. And the parties on Light Street my senior year where we would play washers out in the back, starting at like Friday at noon and, you know, not end until Sunday morning. I mean, those are the kind of things that stick with me forever. Friendships were made and that have lasted through the years. I mean, it was just phenomenal. I mean, I know I'm rambling, but other things that really stuck out was, I was the sports chair at SAE for 3 years.
And you were super intense.
Yeah, I might have been.
Dude, I loved watching you on the field, and you'd get all up in somebody's face, and your finger would be pointing, and you'd be going off, and it was just awesome.
Yeah, those were the days I had a little bit more testosterone, and I cared a little bit too much about competition. But, you know, volleyball games that we would play against the Delt House.
Yep.
Brothers would come, and it turned into like an active thing that, you know, people would come watch our games. It was so much fun. Softball against the Sigma Chi's always drew a crowd. Soccer against the Lambda Chi's and the Delts always drew a crowd. And then football against the Betas. I mean, I just remember those things like they're yesterday. It was really cool, and, you know, an experience that I'll never forget.
How about Virginia?
Virginia, I'll never forget. I was living in the garage with Earl, Slav, and Wolfie. Every day at 11 o'clock, Earl and I would get home from our classes, and it would be nap time. And we'd take a nap, and sure as shit, at about 12:15, Virginia would come banging on the garage door asking, "Boudicker, why did you boys eat yet?" You know, smoking and having some pot or whatever she'd made that day. But, yeah, she took care of us. She was a funny, kind of crazy old grandma, but she was awesome. It was definitely a good part of the memories from that house.
Beer traffic.
Beer traffic. Johnny Bell's favorite sport, in my opinion, was beer traffic.
I want to tell this real quick. There was one time that Virginia had made meatball subs lunch, like meatballs, tons of meatballs, and everybody was outside doing beer traffic. And I went in and just got a bowl of meatballs. I just wanted a big bowl of meatballs. I just wanted to eat a bunch of meatballs, and I was out front eating the meatballs. And you know, beer traffic is whatever color goes by. If it's your color on the car, you got a drink. And if a school bus goes by or some hot chicks, maybe it was a social or whatever. And I just remember taking one of the meatballs and flipping it super high in the air, and it goes out into the street. And people start watching to see which car is going to hit the meatball. And then it came to the point of, if your car hits the meatball, you got to chug a beer. And then all of a sudden, all these meatballs start going out in the freaking street.
Oh, my God.
And then there's all these little flat meat patties all over Riverside, like all in front of the freaking house. That's one of my favorite fucking – that was one
those
of my
weekends were, those weekends were the greatest when we would just sit out there and the weather was nice and the couches on the lawn. And then, God forbid, your family was in town visiting on what happened after that. So – those weekends of beer traffic, always a good
time.
All
right, so what about road trip? What about going with the guys out of campus, out of Ball State? Could be vacation, could be, you know, walk out, whatever. What's adventure outside campus?
Well, I was never fortunate enough to be able to go on spring break. I always had to go back home and work during spring break to try to make it through the end of the semester. But something that Cooch and I did, Cooch and I went to Mardi Gras 2 years in a row. Prior to spring break, we'd take off on a Thursday and spend Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday down in New Orleans. That was always a great time. I had a friend from St. Louis that lived and went to college at Tulane, so he would house us. So we went down there on minimal money and just had a great time. And then the second year, Johnny Bell joined us. Brendan Kennedy joined us. That was the big road trip. And then 1 year we went to New York City, Cooch, myself and Brendan, to go see Kyle's brother who went to West Point. And then we spent the weekend in the city. So two really great things that I remember from college.
All right, so how do you think SAE prepared you for life? Business, life, people, whatever.
I'll tell you what, the networking aspect of the industry that I'm in and the friends that I keep, I still to this day reach out to numbers of our fraternity brothers. It really prepared me from a networking perspective to open my eyes to different industries. I actually got my first job out of college through Dan Burnside, known as Feeder. But Feeder and I were friends in college. He went to work at a recruiting company. I knew nothing about recruiting. I graduated with a biology and chemistry degree. And Dan said, come and talk to us about recruiting scientists. And I was like, no, I don't know anything about that. Well, it turns out, you know, 24 years later, I'm still in the industry. I got put in the IT sector of the recruiting job. So it just really taught me about connection, that relationships mean more often than the piece of paper you're holding in your hand or the diploma that you have. The relationships and how you treat and affect and influence people becomes really a kind of a guiding light on how I've, you know, lived my life. So,
okay, so let's talk about Sweethearts just for a second.
Yeah,
the LZ obviously, and then what were the any Sweetheart favorite bonding moments that pop out?
Well, LZ was the first and my favorite Sweetheart, I think. No offense to anybody else that served in that capacity, but LZ was just very attentive to our class. You know, our Beta Lambda class, she would attend all the parties. We were connected with a lot of the guys that she had kind of grown up with in the house through the Alpha Chi ranks. I think we hung out with a lot of the Alpha Chis that she was, you know, big sis to or whatever. So LZ has always been my favorite. She attended all kinds of parties. But I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Sean, was Cheryl our sweetheart?
Yep,
maybe our sophomore year?
Yep.
Yeah. So I think it was Cheryl and then Melissa Mattaway and then Jenny Cabezi, now Jenny Pellissier. So, and then I think Raquel took over after you and I graduated, or maybe as we were leaving.
Yeah, it was as we were leaving. And yeah, we're doing like segments to kind of honor booze as well. I'm sure you remember Jason, of course.
Oh, absolutely. He was a phenomenal athlete, and definitely I was being competitive. You know, I saw him walk in the door as a freshman, being a big guy and an athlete. And I was very anxious to get him on some of the SAE sports teams.
Right. So overall, you know, for the current actives, for new rushies, and, you know, and just this whole project in general, do you think it's valuable for them to be able to hear what we're doing, but also for us to be able to kind of hear from them what's going on up there today? You know, it's kind of both being able to hear both sides.
Absolutely. I think, you know, I've really enjoyed listening to some of the interviews that you did with, you know, Don Doe and Chad McCauley, and I listened to Sean Taylor's and Wade's. All great things. And I think that I'm just, you know, really appreciating reminiscing on the old times and remembering that these guys are the people that I've, you know, built my life with. These are the best friends that I still take to this day. I'm not really friends with anybody from high school anymore, other than a select few people. But my college friends and my fraternity brothers, those are the folks that I really gravitate towards and are still part of a huge part of my life today. So I think it's really important for, you know, the actives and for anybody that listens to these, you know, these voices interviews to understand that the friendships that you make last a lifetime if you allow them to. And they've really been beneficial for me in terms of, you know, the networking and the leverage that you have in situations with work, in situations in a social capacity. So these have also been the guys that, you know, stood up in my wedding or people that I've leaned on when times were tough. I think this is tremendously important, Sean. I'm really, you know, appreciative that you've embarked on this journey.
Well, it's going to be a long road. There's 2,300 guys, and I don't know how many we're going to be able to get a hold of, but, you know, we're going to build the mountain, baby. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, I'd love for you to reach out to some of the guys that might not be on social media. And I know it's difficult for you to get contact information, but I can be of service there to some of the boys that I still hang around with. I mean, you know, guys like Earl and Cooch who are not on social media, those would be great guys to hear from.
Yes.
Would love to hear Pellissier in his interview. That would be hysterical, I'm sure. And then guys like, you know, Johnny Bell and Bill Wyatt and my brother Dan, obviously, Steve Dobbs, those would be guys I would love to hear. And everybody's in a different industry, so I think it would be really cool to hear different perspectives on what they're doing for work. and you know, kind of give actives a little view of the well-roundedness that that exists in the house. And you know, there's something that my girlfriend and I joke around. She's like, "Boy, for the life that you guys led in college, and the guys that I know today, I cannot believe how successful each and every one of the friends that you associate with are." It's just, it's unbelievable. I mean, your interview with Wade, being a, you know, he went through the Salesforce ranks and is now chief product officer. We've got guys that are running their own companies like Jason Llewellyn. And then we've got guys that are vice presidents at all at banks and, you know, IT companies. It's just tremendous, the leadership qualities that exist coming out of SAE. I've really been appreciative of that in my life. And it's just, I mean, it just blows my mind the level of influence a lot of our brothers have in the business community today.
Well, and you know what? I want to add to that just because when I started my company, it was single lane focused on interviewing seniors about their life. Then it grew to interviewing multiple people about the seniors so then they can hear all the love and everybody's perspective and the family gets to keep it forever. But then I started having situations that I got connected with, you know, the master distiller of Maker's Mark, and his wife started a bourbon trail and got that, or a double medal of honor from Korea that's been a presidential advisor since Truman. And then this guru in the racing industry that for IndyCar and NASCAR for 60 years, and his best buddies, Roger Penske. And I got an email earlier this week from the BBC and a filmmaker from the British Broadcast Corporation that wants to focus on my client and what he did for taking people up in the racing industry, and specifically African-American and this woman that is in the Hall of Fame. And now I'm going to be helping orchestrate, because of these life interviews, a film that's going to be broadcasted throughout the BBC that's going to showcase African-American racing throughout the history. And I never thought I'd be at that point when I just wanted to save a grandma 3 years ago.
Right, right. And I think the message there is you never know what doors are going to open for you in connection with your affiliation to SAE and the brotherhood that was there. So, you know, I just really appreciated you giving us the opportunity, Sean, to have this platform to talk to and reminisce about some of the good old days, but as well as to make new connections. And some of your interviews have really put thoughts in my head on reaching out to certain people that I haven't talked to in a long time.
That was the plan, baby.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, listen, stay on the line. Phi Alpha, love you. And,
Phi Alpha, Sean, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, this was, and I'm enjoying every one of them, but you and I have been tight from the get, so I definitely was looking forward to this, and I thank you.
Likewise.
All right, stay on the line.